This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's wonderful to see some faces that I haven't seen in a while. Thank you for participating today and showing up. I'd also like to thank the people that have been supporting Jikoji from afar during this really challenging time. Please know that we are doing the best we can, getting the grounds ready for you, looking at all of the CDC guidelines and preparing the space so that when you are able to come and participate in person with us again. Obviously, the pandemic has given all of us an opportunity to maybe look at things in a new way. And I think Jikoji is one of those places that's kind of you go to. It's a unique place to be. Anytime, but especially during the pandemic when you're sheltering in place. I feel grateful every day that the nature is around me and the quiet, and I definitely have a lot more space than had I been sequestered in my tiny little studio apartment or anywhere else. So I'm really grateful for the support that goes on offsite that happens to create the space that we can have for those of us that are the caretakers of this wonderful place. So my talk is about enthusiasm, and I probably don't seem very enthusiastic right now because I'm noticing in the moment that what's alive in me is something maybe that's a little less than enthusiasm. You may have seen the picture of the little card in front of the little yogi that said enthusiasm. At the beginning of every year, one of the traditions that we have at the yoga studio is we pick a card, and that card is supposedly our word for the year to work on. Now, at the beginning of the year, I was doing a 60-day hot yoga challenge. The idea was to do a 90-minute class in 105-degree heat and 40% humidity. And if you missed a day, you had to take two on another day to make it up. And you couldn't miss too many days because the most classes they would let you take would be two in a day. So I was excited. I thought that this would be the year that I would complete this challenge, and I was very enthusiastic about it. January came, and to do the challenge in addition to my other responsibilities as a yoga teacher and my responsibilities at Jikoji, it got to be a lot. I felt very overwhelmed, but I really had this goal that I wanted to finish this challenge. And in the course of day-to-day life, other things that you might want to be interested in could pop up and happen. And there was a workshop that I took on authentic relating. And after I did this three-day workshop, knowing that I was going to have to do extra classes to make it up afterwards, it was something that I really wanted to do. I had a lot of energy behind this training because of just where I'm at in my personal life, but also in general, I want to learn how to communicate in a more authentic way and also a way that's not negatively charged or violent. I'm currently taking a class in an online class on nonviolent communication. It's through Sounds True. If anybody's interested in that, they actually have a big discount right now, and you can take all the classes online. And it's actually by the founder. There's these videos that the founder of this type of communication, even though that he's no longer alive, we've got these videos of him, which is really wonderful. So back to the challenge. I got sick after I sort of exerted myself a little bit too much, and I couldn't take yoga for about 2 weeks. So I had 14 plus the two from the 2 days that I went to the thing that I had to make up. Otherwise, I wasn't going to finish this challenge. And, you know, this is getting into February, towards the, you know, later mid-February to late. And somehow I was able to finish the challenge. And I was very enthusiastic that, hey, I did it. I finished this challenge, and I was getting really excited to do we always do an end of, you know, an end of the challenge party, and people talk about sort of what it was that they learned and how they felt that they grew from this challenge. Well, cut to, you know, March 19th when the shelter in place order happened. You know, it was like all of a sudden, and many of you have your own experience of what the shelter in place has meant to you. I guess this talk is going to be maybe a little less Dharma talk and a little bit more of what's alive. But I promise I will come back to the Dharma, because I think just like anything, the Dharma is in everything, you know, and sometimes it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I think that that's very much related to the Dharma. And we've been doing a study group for a while that Connie has led, and we've been discussing the paramitas, and currently we're working on Pema Chodron's book, which has been really wonderful. So it brings us back to this enthusiasm thing. What is enthusiasm? What is energy? You know, energy can be good or it can be bad, or is it neutral? You know, I think in my own practice, I'm striving to find that neutral energy and to lighten myself up when I feel like I'm getting too heavy, and to not take anything personally when there's a charge and it's doesn't really have anything to do with me. Or does it? You know, do we know? So I have a few notes bringing it back to enthusiasm and the Dharma. The definition of enthusiasm is intense and eager enjoyment, interest, or approval. They say the symptoms of enthusiasm are ardor, fervor, passion, and zeal. A lively interest for someone or something. It's the kind of thing that either you have it or you don't, right? So how do we cultivate that in our own practice? How do we get back to whatever it is we're trying to get back to once we've recognized that somehow we got away from it? Just like this talk, right? Kind of bends and weaves and the current goes. And finding that what's alive in me right now is to try to walk that fine line of having a little bit of a skeleton that I want to go on, but still be present with what's here, what's happening. The last couple weeks I've had the opportunity to caretake the garden. And it's been wonderful. It's one of my favorite places at Jikoji. And there's many times that I will just sit in the garden and meditate, or just, you know, watch the life that's happening. And the thing that I love about the garden is it needs attention. And sometimes if you're not paying attention, this bed might get a couple little weeds that you have to pull, you know. And how do you help what's trying to happen in the garden, because the garden knows what it needs. The garden is just going to do itself. You know, it's amazing how all these different types of life come in and bend and weave, and the little lizards that show up, or the birds that help with the little critters on the kale. You know, it's a lot like teaching in a way, because you have to know when to give something to this place, but also to be able to fine tune it and back off a little bit. So maybe that's something that's trying to grow behind it can have a little help, You know, and this pandemic in my own practice has been a really good opportunity for some of the bigger plants that I'm, you know, like the big zucchini plants that are kind of taking over. You know, my yoga practice is kind of like that zucchini plant. I know it. I love it. I have got a great passion for it. And not being able to go into the studio and do my yoga to modify my energy in a way that I can be a better human being, I have to find it in other places. You know, I have to find the encouragement I get from my friends, the support that I get from the teachers that I go to when I have questions. You know, I want to think on that line. I'm really grateful that Connie has just really been able to help me. And we had a conversation maybe a week or so ago that just really helped me go, oh yeah, okay, I'm grounded. You know, how do I show up for this? I'm finding that there are other systems of support that are there. You know, you got to leave the water can go where it's supposed to go. The attention can go where it needs to go. So how do I bring it back to enthusiasm? Either you have it or you don't. How do I not get stuck in the fact that all of my stuff has just really come up with the pandemic, the energy that I have that needs an outlet. And when it builds up too much, it just comes out wrong. You know, it's just, and then I find that I go into this place of judging myself and then not wanting to do anything or to be invisible. And I find that I do that a lot. I would rather just be invisible. And I found in my prep for this talk, that's one of the things with the guidelines here for these paramitas, these things that we're trying to do is, you know, how do we speak up in a way that's in our integrity and is kind and is in what we're trying to do with our practice? And when do we know when to be quiet? You know, I'm learning with this, with a lot of the Black Lives Matter research that I'm trying to do so that I can be a better ally for people. There's so much that I don't know, and I want to just kind of, you know, shut up. I'd rather not talk. I'd rather contribute in a way that's invisible. You know, so how do we get past that? There's so many things in my life that are like that, where I just want to just be quiet, not say the wrong thing. And even in this talk, you know, I'm certainly not an expert on Buddhist philosophy. So getting back to the energy, there's this thing called virya. It's a Sanskrit word for energy. Another way that it's translated could be diligence, enthusiasm, or effort. And I'm really good at the effort part. I'm really good at burning myself out so much that I don't have any energy, so I sit. That's how I rejuvenate. And I was pretty fortunate before the pandemic hit that I could sit and be so exhausted that all I could do was sit. And then with the energy of the pandemic and not having these normal places to put my energy, then it just kind of all collapsed on me. And then I had the mind going like, when am I going to be able to see my family? I haven't seen my family in over 2 years, and I'm a risk to them right now coming from California. If I were to drive, you know, to Minneapolis and then drive all the way back, then I'm a risk for the people when I come back. All these things, all these thoughts, how do I get past it? I've noticed that I've gone into major, major extroversion to major, major introversion. And the only way that I've had balance is to put my energy into stuff. Okay. So there's a saying, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I've been trying to play with that fine line with the things that I can do while I'm at Jikoji. And not doing things that I know that I'm going to be putting sort of a negative kind of charge into. And it's been really interesting to notice in myself how that feels when I'm doing something from a place of lightness and joy to when I'm doing it just because that little voice in my head says, well, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't do it, or this person's going to be mad at me if I don't do this way, or gosh, I really should call my mom because I haven't talked to her in a while, but the energy sort of with that charge. And I noticed that it wasn't really as bad as I thought it was going to be. My mind is very good at being able to kind of see the worst case scenario, maybe the best case scenario, and usually it kind of falls somewhere in between. I noticed with that actually not having that expectation, I noticed that there was more energy that just kind of naturally rose up when I kind of gave up my idea of what it was going to be and kind of just listened to what my body was saying. Yesterday I was sitting out in the garden after watering. There's this really beautiful fuchsia that the hummingbirds love, and the gladiolas right now are just boom, bang. And just watching the way that the hummingbirds kind of go and they play. And there was this one hummingbird that sat on this, we have a place where the beans kind of climb up, a trellis sort of. And this hummingbird sat and looked at me. And I sat there and looked at it for a while and just was like, really like, wow, I don't think I've ever seen a hummingbird sit still that long. And I realized in that moment, like, wow, I'm kind of like the hummingbird. Like, I like to go and do and do and do and do, but what happens when I just sit? The energy from that was really, really cool. And the other side of energy is the need for rest. You know, if you can't rejuvenate and refresh, how are you going to have that energy to do anything in a good way? And for many years, I worked in a job where I had a lot of responsibility cleaning up. And, you know, if somebody didn't show up, I was the person that got to do it. And there was a lot of momentum around that. And I think probably, if I'm really honest with myself, the last year of that probably wasn't really done in the best way that I could do it. You know, there was a lot of resentment over it. And even, too, when I got sick, the resentment of, oh, how this isn't fair and why me? What is this? You know? And unfortunately, we can't take back the things that we've done, but we can make a decision in this moment. How am I going to recognize that sooner going forward from now so that I can just come back? How do we not get stuck in the muck? You know, I've had to turn off any kind of looking at the death count with the pandemic stuff and looking at the cases because it's honestly just driving me nuts. And the energy that I feel coming from the screen is just fear, fear, fear. And I feel heavy watching it. And I want to be a good person. And I want to care about things that are happening. And I have friends who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. And there's just so much in the external world. Like, there's, what else can I do but just sit with it? Sit with the weight of that. Like, these people are going through things that I'm not going through and things that I will never understand. And how grateful am I to be in this oasis where I get to work on my stuff right now and trust that the world is going to be okay, because I'm just doing my part. That's all I can do. I can't say that that necessarily makes me feel joyful, but I feel it's taken some of the stuff off my plate that shouldn't have really been on my plate in the first place. Now, the other side of this enthusiasm, this zeal, I believe it's the Dale S. Wright book, The Six Perfections, he says there's three types of laziness. There's an inherent tendency to want ease in our life. I mean, who doesn't want ease? It feels good sometimes. Our attachment to worldly activity takes away from our focus on spiritual practice. Oh, I've definitely been guilty of that one. Or meaningless or frivolous activity. Go with the flow. General worldly nonsense. And there's a lot of that right now. I think there probably always was in the Buddha's time or our time. And hopefully we will live to see even more worldly, goofy stuff. What an honor, huh? This body we've got. And then there's the laziness of discouragement, allowing self-evaluation, our sense of unworthiness to take over and to kind of kill the energy. I just don't know. So there's this part from the Shantideva book that I wanted to read. I just got to find it. It's kind of a little writing. Here we go. After first examining one's means, one should either begin or not begin. Surely it's better not to begin than to turn back once begun. So how do you can't quit something like the Bodhisattva vow. You have to just go with it. You committed to this, be a part of it or not, but you know. I must eliminate immeasurable faults for myself and for others, while the eradication of every single fault may take myriads of eons. And my little lifetime is just a little, tiny little flicker of a hummingbird's wings. During the pandemic, I decided that I was going to do something that I knew I was going to be terrible at and do it anyway. Part of that is trying to do a Dharma talk on something that I'm definitely not an expert at, or something else. So as I wrap this up, I'm going to share this little hobby that I decided I was going to take on. And I've played it for the garden, and we've got zucchini coming like crazy. So I'm just going to share this with you now. It's a little steel tongue drum that I got, and welcome to non-perfection. So I hope you have some energy around that, and I'd like to open this up. Got plenty of time for some discussion. So I just have two questions I'd like to ask. What's alive in you in this moment? And what are you grateful for over the last 4 months that we've had with the quarantine? And I'd like to leave it at that. Don't make me break out the drum again.
Well, what I feel right now is a lot of joy in no small part because of the joy that you transferred to us, I feel. So you demonstrated enthusiasm. That's what I feel. And I just want to say, you know, I had a similar experience recently with when my dog was dying, our last dog was dying with a hummingbird in our backyard. She was a dachshund. She had lived 17 years. I think it was definitely the last week of her life. I think it was the last couple of days of her life. And I was holding her in the backyard. I was sitting on a concrete patio, and I was holding her. And this hummingbird, if you have hummingbirds around our garden, my wife plants a lot of flowers, the hummingbird came up and stood above us. I mean, you know, in the air, with the wings in the air flapping, completely still, like maybe 2 feet above my head, and was looking at our dog and me. And I was stunned because, like you say, usually, I mean, they do stand up in the air, but they don't, you know, hover above people. So what I noticed at that time was like how quiet it became, you know. Like it felt like a gift. And hummingbird wings move so fast, but it was completely still. So it was kind of like a feeling of a moving stillness. And I made up a story in my head that she was checking on our dog. But anyway, that's what you said, what's alive in us. I want to say, first of all, I felt your enthusiasm and energy. It's contagious. And the second thing is this hummingbird.
Jen, I want to say that I'm very touched by your candor and remembering the first time I really, when I was at Jokoji and really got a sense of your enthusiasm, is when you cooked for us. We had our oryoki meals and the food was just extraordinary. So your enthusiasm, your connection to the garden, your focus, it must have been intense focus and the love you put into that food was notable for me. I appreciated that. I'm touched by your questions of where in our lives we feel enthusiasm or not. I've had time during these 4 months, a lot of time in this room, which is kind of my sanctuary, and I also have tons of old stuff from old projects. And I bring them out, and I put them back, and I bring them out, and I put them back, and I look at things and find new awarenesses of them. But where is that enthusiasm, you know, to pull out the loom and really use the fiber, or, you know, to really start a big project and do it? And what gets in the way? So that's been an important bit of information for me. And what do I think are the impediments? What are the old impediments of judgment and ideas of perfection or aesthetics and so forth? What's stopping the fingers? So it was good to hear you talk about your experience with that kind of energy. In terms of appreciation for opportunities from the pandemic, the rest of my family, my kids are together right now this weekend, and I miss them dearly, and I miss being with them. We tried to have a phone call, and it was really unsatisfactory. Half the time there was no, you know, it's the technology stuff that was very frustrating. And granddaughter just taking off and running away. And so the pandemic has brought up that sense of loss of being fully connected to family. But these opportunities to see people from all over, and the global connection has been really wonderful, and the opportunity for more quiet. So thank you for sharing with us today and helping us to open up some new ideas of our own.
Jen, I would like to begin by sharing my appreciation for your practice at Jikoji. I've had the privilege of watching it from the sidelines, you might say, since I haven't lived there during your various residences there, but I've been appreciative of all you've contributed to Jikoji over the decades and right up to the having the gumption to challenge giving a talk in this new medium. So, and thank you for the specific questions you posed to us. Otherwise, I might sit here quietly like I usually do and just appreciate what, and be silent. But what's alive in me now and what I'm grateful for are closely related, part of the same story, you might say. During the pandemic, my older sister passed on after somewhat of a long illness, so it wasn't surprising, and it was the right time. So there was gratefulness there rather than sadness. And her longtime husband passed on not long before she did. And they both worked hard for long lives, during long lives, and were able to have a, small amount of money to share with my younger sister and I. So that's sort of the gratefulness part. The aliveness is that I have two grown children that have had difficulties in their lives, and neither of them are well established, neither job-wise nor home-wise. And so I'm, what's alive is, for me, is sharing, or basically taking all of what I received from my sister and late brother-in-law and directing it to my son, one of my sons and daughter, to help them get over these rough times in their lives and to get a home established for each of them where they can feel settled and grounded and move ahead. So that's my gratefulness, that's my aliveness, and thank you once again, Jen.
This is Daryl. I don't know you, and I've never met you, but I just wanted to say thank you for your talk this morning and making the effort to be there. Speaking for myself and Susan, who I'm using her computer right now. So again, thank you very much.
And thank you for your talk. It's really good to hear about the garden. And what's alive in me, I'm really grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for the moment. I'm grateful to remember that everything really is here in the moment. I'm grateful to all of you. Here's a little quote that I really like. Have good trust in yourself, not in the one that you think you should be, but in the one that you are. This ties on my Zoomy Roshi. Thanks.
Brian here. I want to thank you, Jennifer, for this talk today. First, there was some problem with my volume, so I didn't hear the first part of it. But I really did hear the latter part of it. And of course, enthusiasm is your middle name, or your the name we call you by. You know, I'm sort of a hyper myself, but you put me to shame. I mean, you don't walk anywhere. And that energy, it isn't just, you know, wasted energy, it's directed energy. And I really, really appreciate your presence at Jokoji enormously, and particularly that you've taken this step in you know, getting robes and then offering teishos like this. It means a tremendous, it's tremendously important to me to see someone like you who came to Jokoji in your initial presence here and then came again. And, you know, what's so obvious to Peter and others who have been around as long as he and I have is the evolution in your spirit and in your commitment to practice and the way you touch others. It really is incredible to see all this occur in such a short period of time. As far as me and the coronavirus, I had the very good fortune to be able to visit with my son and granddaughter. My wife and I spent time with them. And the only way we could do that was they both got tested, which was a gift. So they got tested and then waited 3 or 4 days and then came down from Portland and we hung out for a few days. It was fantastic. And I think there's something about that, not having that connection when it comes for all of us, and we will hopefully survive all the survivals, this pandemic. My appreciation was for my son and granddaughter was, and my wife's as well, it was off the charts. We were just, whoa, this is great. So there's something about that, as difficult as this period of denial is, there is a tremendous flush of joy and happiness when you do touch the people you love again and can actually hug them as opposed to looking at them on a screen. So thank you, Jennifer, and please offer more teishos.
Hi, Jen. You are not visible today. I appreciate the courage to do what you did, and I appreciate your wisdom and your energy. I remember also the feeling of the way you took ingredients of that first time we were together and put it into the food, and I felt like such nurturing love from you. I will never forget that. Just day after day at that sashin of feeling cared for, and it was through your heart, so I won't ever forget it. While you were speaking about the hummingbird, maybe a lot of us have had hummingbird experiences. I know I have, and I thought of the Leonard Cohen song. I don't know, do you know it? At the end of his life, and he said, "Listen to the hummingbird whose wings you cannot see. Listen to the hummingbird, don't listen to me. Listen to the butterfly whose days but number 3. Listen to the butterfly, don't listen to me." That's the gist of it. Thank you.
Greetings from Santa Barbara. Can you hear me? Okay, first of all, I want to say what's up for me alive right now is scattered energy. I have so many things I want to get into and learn online and do around the house. And there's so many of them, I've just given up picking one so I don't do anything. And I have to kind of hoping to focus my energy a little bit more so I can approach these one at a time. What I'm grateful for is Jikoji. I made two attempts to get there from Santa Barbara and missed both of them. And then the pandemic hit when some of our group was up there and they had to scurry back to our down here in Central California. And I feel like I've gotten to know everybody here and feel like even though I've never been there, it's when we get together with our Zen group, it's like a reunion. Here, it's a pre-union. So I hope to see everybody in the future. And thank you again for your talk today.
Hey, Jen. It's Connie. Hello, everybody. Jen, thank you so much for your talk and for, you know, you really honestly bearing your heart to us. I'm very inspired. Enthusiasm is something that I really treasure because when I'm a water, I feel like I pick up on people's energy pretty easily. And so I love being around enthusiastic people because it's so contagious. So I like, you know, the exploration that you did of this kind of energy that I think gives us all life. And it's so important. And I think your question about what's alive for me, I really feel like we're at a turning point, and I hope we can turn in the right direction as a society. And so I'm thinking about that a lot. I'm enrolled in a class similar to yours that's through Stanford, and it's called Love for Social Justice. And I think I'd like to compare notes with you sometime, you know, when we're through it, see what similar topics we've covered. It's hard. I think I'm having a hard time with this pandemic. I often feel that discouragement, and that discouragement turning to a kind of a laziness or turning away. And, probably the antidote, that's like the antidote emotion for discouragement is enthusiasm. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for taking care of Jikoji. Thanks for all that you do.
Hi, Jen, can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Am I coming through? No?
Yes.
Oh, good. I want to tell you how much I appreciate this time as we've been working together at Jikoji. I've had many opportunities in working with you to find that that Jen and her energy and enthusiasm have started something in motion. And the gift that I get is I notice myself going, I don't think I was ready for this. And I look at you and I go, oh, I am ready for this. Here we go. It's starting. We're going to do it. We're going to get it done. Whether it's reorganizing the kitchen or working on some policy together. I really appreciate how you take that first step and it's helped me a lot. I really appreciate it. A couple of other things came up that I'd like to share. One is the recurring image of hummingbird, and the hummingbird both perched and hovering, and the hummingbird walking up the stairs very quickly, carrying a load of laundry or making something happen at Jokoji, they're the same. There's the similarities in all of these things. The hummingbird sitting on a cushion in the Zendo, it's the same thing. Yeah. And then finally, I ran across a lovely writing in this neighborhood where I am at the moment. I'd like to read it to you all. It has to do with the ongoing pandemic and how humanity is responding to it. And it makes a nice observation. It says, for those of us feeling quarantine fatigue, and who isn't, here's a different perspective. When you go out and see the empty streets and empty stadiums, the empty train platforms, what you're seeing is love in action. What you're seeing in that empty space is how much we care for each other, for our grandparents, for our immunocompromised brothers and sisters, for people we will never meet. People will lose jobs over this. Some will lose their businesses, and some will lose their lives. All the more reason to take a moment when you are out on your walk or on your way to the store or to the farmer's market or just watching the news to look into the emptiness and marvel at all of that love. Let it fill you and sustain you. It isn't the end of the world. It is the most remarkable act of global solidarity we may ever witness.
John.
Thank you for your talk, Jen. And as another enthusiastic person, sometimes our enthusiasms have conflicted. Lately, they haven't, and it's been quite fun to work on things together with you. And so it's one of the interesting notions you brought up is how when you were wanting to withdraw and that you wanted to be invisible. And when we withdraw, I think that's a normal thing. But then you went on to talk, and I wondered if there was a similarity to it too, that what you want to do though is to have what you do be invisible. And that's beautiful. And I just wondered if there's a transition from, you know, wanting to disappear when things aren't going right, or, you know, it's like, what's going on? And you want to disappear to just giving gifts of invisible effort.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the highest form of giving, is to be able to do it without really expecting anything in return. Just you have the energy, so you do it. You know, on the opposite side of that, though, is giving when you don't have the energy to do it. That's been my hardest thing, is to not feel guilty about that.
Did you lose Jokoji? They go offline.
Unless anybody else has something outrageously alive that they'd like to share, maybe this is a good point to end our talk for today.
Can we announce a couple of announcements? Yes. One is next week, Vanya is going to give a talk. And hello, everyone. Thank you for coming today. And thank you, Jen, for speaking of how everyone, all of you support Jokoji. And we, like other people, individuals, organizations, have trimmed ourselves back, way back in these times. We hope that you will keep us in mind, too, because we need your continued support. And that's all I'd like to say. I wish I could invite you to lunch with us. One of the wonderful things that's happened here from our garden is Emmy started leaving bags of fresh kale up at the road in a box that we have underneath our mailbox, so neighbors can swing by and get kale occasionally, and we're doing that every week. So just different things open up for us. Anyway, thank you for all for being here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.